I've really been struck this week as I have spoken to so many people by how many have been impacted with quite an emotional way. I've been sitting next to people watching the news as tears have been flowing down their faces because of the desperation of humanity. I understand it's something like 1.5 million people now are officially refugees coming out of the Ukraine, a great deal more than that, having their lives absolutely turned upside down. Lots of people have lost their lives on all sides this week, and the world looks on, and I hope you've been looking on, and we shudder at what is taking place. There's shock, there's anxiety, there's bewilderment, there's horror and sadness. And I want to just challenge us about what our response might be to that, and to ask us to just reflect a little on what God's heart might be to try to help us to process all of this and then respond to it in a very godly way. For some, maybe they feel it's too far away, doesn't affect them. For others, perhaps they just want to ignore it and just press on. And for others, it's really simple. God's in control. We can trust him. So just don't worry about it. But I wonder if those are appropriate responses. I want to suggest it is right to have an emotional response. I'll just share a PowerPoint with just a few simple images as we just think about this, the wheel of going as we go round of the things that can impact us and come back to this place where God is. First of all, this idea of responding by emotion. Actually, I believe it's the most healthy thing in the world to have such emotions. It is right to want to pour your heart out, to be broken in pain when we see what other people are going through. It's right because that was the nature of our God. It's what Jesus demonstrated again and again. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus looked at the crowd. They were hungry. They were lost. And we read he was filled with compassion. You remember when Jesus observed the heartache when Mary and Martha were broken and Lazarus had died. And we read that Jesus wept. As he approached Jerusalem during the end of Lent, as he was about to be crucified himself, he looked on this city and he wept over it because of what he sees. That's the God that we have. That's the Christ-like response, to see hurt, to see pain and loss, and to be broken. I want to challenge us to say that's the right way, because that's God's way and we are made in his image. Actually, if we were not moved, if we can simply just ignore it and move on. Well, the thought that went through my mind was, I wonder whether that, to bring it to the story of the Good Samaritan, is a little bit like being one of those who passed by on the other side and ignored what was going on. But what emotions then might we show? Compassion, empathy, of course. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? Jesus demonstrated empathy. He put himself literally in the shoes of human beings. He walked where we walked. But there are other responses that we can also give. One of them is anger. Anger is a rightful response. It has its place without question. But I've got to be honest, it's something I would sometimes struggle with when I see some of the injustices in the world, when I see what has taken place. I want to bang my fist on the ground and more. The challenge for God's people is to keep that in perspective. We're told, don't let the sun go down on your anger. We need to be dealing with it. Because if not, it runs the risk of being exploited by the enemy who prowls all around, and he will take us in a wrong direction, and we can make rash responses. Politicians are seeking to learn that at the moment. Also, it's very easy for that anger to turn into judgmentalism. I wonder what words you have used, maybe about President Putin or the Russian leadership this week. I know I've had my own judgment. It's very easy to point the finger. But God calls us not to do that. He says, do not judge. I believe it's right to look at the world and see the brokenness and to discern what is happening and recognize sin. But we need to challenge ourselves when it turns too much into us having a very simple criticism of others, because it can turn our thoughts into hatred, and then all sorts of things come by. And of course, when we then speak to other people, we can impact them negatively as well. There is something we can do with that. Jesus said to us, pray for your enemies. What a completely ridiculous, radical way of thinking at things. That's what human beings would think. But Jesus said, you've heard an eye to an eye, but I say, pray for your enemies. Pray for those. And I've heard some of you this week in your prayers praying for the leaders on all sides, praying that God's presence would impact them in a remarkable way. Wonder whether we can just check our emotions as we go through the coming week and reflect on what we pour back and how we go to God. And if you remember, of course, when it comes to praying for our enemies, I wonder whether that was what went on in the early church. Do you remember a chap by the name of Saul who persecuted in relentless form, with cruelty, you might say, holding the coats while people stoned the Christians to death? But it was the Apostle Paul who was transformed by an encounter with Jesus. What would it be in this world if the world saw some of our world leaders have encounters with Jesus? Do you believe that's possible? Or are we just simply praying for the political solution or the military solution we think is appropriate? It is good to act. It is good to act, and prayer is where it begins. But it might also then follow on with practical action. And there are things that some of you have been doing in giving money and so on. And we might want to think, what more can we do? If we were living on the border with between Ukraine and Poland, I wonder whether we'd be opening our homes up. I hope we'd have that level of impact as a result of what we're seeing. But I want to bring us back to remember that in our response, to remember who God is. We have a sovereign God who is Lord over all. And nothing happens that he doesn't permit. Leaders don't get away with things without God knowing. And God is the ultimate judge. And we need to call upon our sovereign God and seek his heart and his will in these situations. Let's remember who God is and trust him. And of course, the final part of that, bringing it full circle, is ourselves. I wonder whether we recognize how much we need to come to God in these emotional times for comfort, for peace, for a peaceful spirit that has a right perspective in the crisis, that has the ability to say gentle, wise words to those around us instead of inflame and stir things even more. I wonder whether we come to God and seek his comfort. I hope we've been doing that for other people, for people in Ukraine, and we can do that again. But even today, I want to encourage us to be seeking God's comfort for ourselves, his peace.